It's Soundprint. I'm Barbara Bogave. So you know how in some parking garages, the levels are marked not just by a number, but by a color, too? Some even go one step further. I went to the Getty Museum in Los Angeles recently, and on every level by the elevators, there were murals of famous paintings from different art genres. If you're an art lover, you might forget that you parked on level B, but you would remember you parked on the Impressionist floor. It's just the way it is. Some of us remember colors better than numbers. Some remember visual images better than letters. We're all wired differently. Parking engineers have figured this out, and increasingly, schools are acknowledging it too, often providing students with calculators, laptops, and other technology assistance to help them overcome weaknesses and capitalize on their strengths. But what happens when students leave school and have to adjust to new, more competitive environments like the workplace or college? Producer Aileen Ellis has tracked a number of students with special needs. She's found that more and more employers, educators, and individuals with learning challenges are catching on to the fact that there are all kinds of minds and all kinds of ways to foster their growth.
Robert Lennon is a driven man. Small and wiry, he's a bundle of relaxed intensity as he sits down to chat.
I'm 45. Eesh. Scary. I don't feel 45. I'm just a college student.
As a kid, Robert was told he was lazy and slow. In the 60s, learning disabilities weren't understood.
I grew up in Southern California, and you know, it was difficult. It was an experience where I felt like there was no hope of succeeding, and I was just sort of biding my time going through each grade until I finally was let out of high school, so to speak. I barely graduated with a C average, and I didn't see myself able to develop my own career without an education, so I went into the family business, so to speak.
That business was a printing company, and Robert rose through the ranks. But he didn't feel passionate about his career, even when he eventually supervised 8 employees. Underneath his outward success, Robert agonized because he couldn't even write a memo.
I lived my career in the shadows, sort of ducking in and out so that I wouldn't be discovered by my employers. You know, they wouldn't find out that I couldn't write an essay, or I had no confidence in writing a simple sentence because I wasn't really sure how it sounded, if it was grammatically correct.
He knew there was a reason he was having so much trouble, but all he could figure out was he was on the outside, looking in.
There was something I wasn't doing. There was some trick or some secret that nobody told me.
These days, kids who have trouble in school can get tested, and that's what happened with Robert's son. Robert decided to get tested too, and it turns out that he has dyslexia and attention deficit disorder. He got some tutoring, but wasn't sure what was next. Then his wife brought home a brochure. It detailed a program at his local community college for people with learning disabilities.
I felt like, you know, I had found the answer to the $64 question. It seemed to really address a wide variety of issues. It was English and reading and study skills and counseling and emotional support and patience and an environment that made me feel very comfortable in exploring strategies for overcoming my learning disability.
It's working for him. Rose Sachs chairs the Disability Services Department at Montgomery College in Maryland. She says Robert is like a lot of the students who come through this program. They haven't deciphered their learning disabilities either.
Even the students who have come from the public school system know very little about what that means. What is a learning disability? How does it affect you? What's the impact in an academic setting? What does it mean? And they really most often don't know.
Montgomery College's program called CAP, the College Access Program, is designed to help them figure this out. After new testing, each student is placed in pre-college, post-high school reading and writing classes, a sort of 13th school year. They also take a class called College Survival.
Can someone tell me when you think is your best time to study?
As soon as you get home from school.
As soon as you get home from school, so is that afternoon? What I mean by best time, what I'm asking you is, can you tell me, is it better for you to study in the morning, early morning, mid-afternoon, afternoon, evening, late at night? When is your best time to study for you?
My best time would be like afternoon and late at night.
Okay. Together. Somebody else?
In the evenings.
Okay. In your notebooks?
This is an important question for people with learning disabilities. It's hard to pay attention and remember facts. Teacher Sue Hassan wants each of her students to know themselves well enough to use the time when they're most alert.
We made a point last time that it's always best to study the most difficult material, or if you have a task that's extremely difficult, it's best to use that peak time to focus on that task. If you're really struggling with biology, why would it be really important to, and if you know that you're a morning person, why would it be important to study biology in the morning?
Because that's the one time when your mind is actually working on what you need to concentrate on.
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
Planning ahead is another skill these students have to learn. At the beginning of the semester, 5 weeks ago, Hassan assigned a short paper to the 15 students in the class. Now it's due in about 2 weeks.
Hopefully you've already started, correct? What would you do first?
Find the activity.
Okay. Which one did you say you attended?
Latino Student Union.
The club?
Yeah, the club.
Okay. Did anybody else attend one yet? No. Okay, and it's due what? Next Friday. Do you see what the problem is here? Does anyone have a plan?
Hassan mentions that in a regular college class, no one will remind them it's due. This is critical. When students with LD issues get behind, they are swamped. Hassan leads the students firmly back through the steps they must accomplish to make the deadline.
Can you wait? If you told me it's going to take a day, can you wait till October 23rd? No. Okay? Why? Because there may not be an activity going on October 23rd. And if you wait that long, okay, you're not going to be able to meet your deadline.
If you get the
hardest thing about this is identifying the activity. Once you identify, everything else will flow from that. Okay? Once you figure out sort of what you need to do, how long it will take you, and that kind of a thing, you go on to the second step, which is what we call divide and conquer. If we were to break this project into small steps, what would be the first step that you need to do?
Find.
Identify the activity. What would be the second step?
Attend
the activity. Good. What would be the third step?
Take notes.
Okay, take notes. All right, that's fine.
Not everyone does well in the CAP program. Not everyone becomes self-reliant. Some decide the rigors of college aren't for them. The staff at CAP meets weekly to discuss each student who's in trouble.
I'm very concerned. I have beginnings of many things from him. He doesn't understand that he has to continue, and he's made no contact with me. Part of the reason he can't understand what I'm after is he continues to come late, 20 minutes, half an hour. He doesn't hear the setup. That's the setup time.
Right.
So this is serious.
Okay. Sandy?
In working with him one-on-one, I realized how very weak he is, and unfortunately, he has not come to tutoring in recently.
Now, if this student were still in high school, he would have some extra help built into his regimen. That's because every year in high school, there's a yearly meeting called an IEP, the Individualized Education Planning Meeting, to assess his needs and push him to make progress. Linda Van Curien works at the Council for Exceptional Children and is a former teacher.
An entire team comes together. It's the student's teachers, the student's parents are there, and often the student himself is there. And it's a plan for the student for the year. And you say, okay, what are the goals we have for this student to achieve this year? And you may focus on social areas, and you say, okay, this is what the child can do in math. This is what the child can do in English. What are the goals for this year?
After high school graduation, the IEP goes away. Sometimes students just want their learning disabilities to vanish too, hoping they don't need help anymore. But often, that is wishful thinking. Montgomery College's Rose Sachs has seen this internal dilemma play out many times.
They have to self-identify. We can't go out and find them. When an instructor will call about a student, will listen, and, you know, that's fine, but the student has to make some contact with the office. They're adults, and I know often parents have a hard time with that because often parents are paying for their education.
College. You've just celebrated your long-awaited high school graduation, and suddenly your parents don't even legally have to see your grades. For the student with a learning disability, it's easy to get too far behind, even when you're trying hard.
But she's doing very well. I mean, she's there, she's prompt, she's very engaged, and I'm not sure what the next step is after our program.
I think she's flowering a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to push her to do is you do what I say in terms of structure and organization, but the point that you want to make is your very own. I don't care what you say to me as long as you substantiate it. I have elevated hopes for what she might do. I mean, the fact that she can read so well and that she reads all the time, something's in her brain that hasn't come out yet.
In college, you may free write at the beginning, but you have to do structured papers. It's not creative writing. And I think that that's part of what you're saying.
Having trouble expressing your thoughts in an organized paper is a common problem for people with LD issues. Ellen Engstrom is an associate professor at Landmark College in Vermont. She teaches students with writing and reading issues.
Sometimes that's breaking the code of the language. Sometimes it's more related to their understanding of what they read and having a really hard time just figuring out what the patterns in text are. Also, students who have a lot of difficulties with writing, some of that's based in poor spelling and just a hard time coming up with words to say. Sometimes it's, though, students who are quite bright but have a very difficult time expressing concepts in written language. And some students who have great ideas but really have a hard time organizing those ideas and actually producing written work.
Landmark College enrolls only learning disabled students. Students at Landmark earn their associate degrees in fully supported classrooms for learning disabilities. Much of the support is provided through software programs. All students must use a laptop.
What we do here is to really embed support for students with learning difficulties in our curriculum so that it's part and parcel of the course. And that's, I think, what's really different from what we do with some of the special education supports that have been in place for them before.
You're going to be writing a 5-paragraph summary based on this article on terrorism. And so we're going to do a series of summary building activities that will really come in handy for you when you are actually writing that summary. And we'll help you review the major concepts in the article as well. So we will be using a combination of inspiration and Kurzweil 3000 today. So you'll need to
in this reading comprehension class, the students sit at a circle of tables, their wireless computers and software programs at the ready. Engstrom clicks on a heady 20-page article on terrorism and puts the digitized text up on the screen at the front of the class. It's also on each student's computer so that everyone can manipulate the text.
Find the parts in the article that actually explain, first of all, what the definition of terrorism is, and second, what the motivations are. What's the exact sentence in the article, you know, that defines terrorism here? Quinn, go ahead.
Terrorism is loosely defined as violence or intimidation aimed at innocent targets to achieve political objectives.
Yeah, okay. What does that mean? David, how would you paraphrase that?
Violence aimed at innocent people for their own beliefs.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Now, here's what I want you to do. Part of the goal of active reading is to know the text so well that when you go to summarize it, analyze it, write about it, you know, you can find exactly where the text says, you know, what you're looking for.
Using the Kurzweil software, the students begin selecting the important sentences that sum up the main ideas. They are copying and pasting only these sentences into a series of bubbles on the screen.
And paste it. So let me show you what I mean. I'm just going to go ahead and select that sentence, and I'm going to copy it and come back to my inspiration. And here in my definition box, I'm going to paste the meaning, which, so there it is. So all I've done is taken the text directly out of the article and just put it there. So would you do that now, please?
And the fact that they can actually find the text in their scanned articles, copy it, and place it where it belongs is a real concrete way to practice finding information in texts, pulling it out, and literally putting it someplace else. And that's why I do it. And I find that it's really pretty effective.
The students will use these pasted quotes later. Engstrom says that often students understand what they are reading, but can't write about what they have read. Finding these quotes easily will help. The system of cutting and pasting into a series of circles or bubbles is called visual mapping.
A lot of the students I teach really have strong visual skills, and in fact, you could call them visual learners. And they really do well with visual representations of ideas as opposed to things like outlines and text and things like that. So I found in teaching text structure to students that the addition of some kind of visual mapping is really helpful for their comprehension and beginning to understand that text has pattern, you know, where to look for the main ideas and things of that nature.
Anyone care to actually read verbatim what you're going to read exactly what you're going to copy? Could somebody want to read the sentence? Thank you, Quinn.
Less powerful countries, notably Iran, Libya, North Korea, and Syria, mm-hmm. have found that secretly supporting international terrorists to further their political goals is preferable to launching all-out war.
Right, exactly. And, you know, just for the heck of it, let's let Kurzweil read it.
Less powerful countries.
The students use Kurzweil to read the article out loud, to look up hard words, and to highlight important information. They then use inspiration to collect and review those ideas in a visual way for use later.
So there we go. So what you need to do is now, if you all got that in the bubble.
Now, they are ready to talk about the meaning of what they have read in a deeper way.
We have religious terrorists, and religious terrorists are fighting for what? Is it about who should be leading, or is it about more about lifestyle or values or... like what?
They're trying to exploit their culture and their religion.
Majdi, do you agree with that?
They're more like trying to make a point, trying to make the voice heard, mm-hmm. or make people afraid of their religion.
Okay, which is an interpretation. I mean,
finding that nuanced way to think about ideas is hard for all students. For these learning disabled students, these critical thinking skills can be painfully elusive. Student Quinn Bradley says he likes the independence this software may eventually give him.
My ideas are completely unorganized. And when I got that down, if I ever do get it down, I've tried things that my English teachers have told me to, and still, for some reason, I just... That's just a problem that I'm always going to have, I think.
Quinn plans to graduate from Landmark and attend St. Mary's College, a small school near home where he won't get lost in the shuffle. Of course, not everyone chooses this route. Some students and parents feel college is just too hard. That's why Sean's mom, Nancy, looked for another academic path.
I think it was pretty obvious early on that Sean was a very hands-on, techie kind of kid, and... You know, academics were tough for him. We wanted to emphasize the areas that he was good in and would be successful in.
Sean is mechanical, one of those people who can assemble anything without directions. But like most kids with learning disabilities, Sean is blocked by his inabilities.
My weaknesses is really in, like, reading comprehension. When I read stories in class to myself, sometimes I just won't just draw a blank and can't. Get the questions down. I kind of was worried what was going to happen because I didn't know what high school is really like. I just have a lot of trouble in doing English, and I just didn't want to fail.
He would tell you how unhappy he was. He'd be yelling and screaming about having to do homework. He told me at one point, look, Mom, I'll just go to school until I'm 16 and then I'll drop out, which is one of my biggest fears. I mean, he may not, you know, get a BS or an MBA, but I did want him to finish high school.
At 15, Sean's progress took off when he entered a high school that stresses a different set of academic parameters.
If I had my way, every school would be a tech school because it gives a reason
for learning. It's an application of the math. When you write reports, when you do memos, you're using your skills that you've gained in the English classroom to be able to do that. So it's all connected.
Ed Fangman is the principal at Sollers Point Technical High School in Baltimore, Maryland. At Sollers Point, the teachers have worked in the trades they teach. Students get national certification in one of 12 different trades, everything from auto mechanics to cosmetology, cooking to computer graphics. Fangman says a lot of kids do better when they see a specific reason for being in school. For some students, learning disabled or not, the traditional academic coursework seems irrelevant.
I think we give the kids the so what of education. And I think for some kids, when they get their hands on things, when they start to manipulate objects, when they start to work with processes, work with visuals, they're much more likely to be successful. And all of our students, all of students in general, are not logical, sequential learners, and we just have to find a way that they learn best.
A lot of learning disabled kids do better with hands-on activities. They can see it, touch it, and the ideas sink in. Ed Fangman fills 20% of his slots at Sollers Point with kids who have been diagnosed with a learning disability. All students spend half a day here and half a day at their home school, where they take the more traditional academic classes.
At Sollers Point Tech, we have per pupil probably the greatest ratio of computer to students that exists. Many of our programs are computer-based, and students are one-on-one with their computers. Carpentry has a terrific dust collecting system, terrific pieces of equipment, saws, planers, all that sort of thing. Every single program in this building is technology-based, and the reason, very simply, is because we want the kids to leave here knowing what it means to use the high-tech equipment that they're going to encounter when they get into the workforce.
The coolest thing I can do is take Cat 5 cables and terminate them with RJ45s and minicoms on the end and put them inside walls and pretty much make it run right. I just finished working on the WAN lab, which I had to wire 6 jacks up and bring it down to a punch-down block and then over to a switch. I ran a wire up to the ceiling for the internet to go all the other side of the room. I was surprised that I could wire up a WAN lab by myself, because my team always bailed on me whenever I was doing stuff. So
suddenly, this teenager who can't follow the sequential process of an essay or a complicated physics problem is applying sequential thinking in his classes on network administration and design. Linda Van Curien of the Council for Exceptional Children.
There's a difference between a student who simply cannot do the math and a student who may be able to do the math but cannot do it in the way it is presented on the test. The test is not accurately reflecting what the student knows.
Sean's success in the Sollers Point program has crossed into his other studies. All his grades are going up. Sean's networking teacher, Nancy Knoll.
Sometimes the students who come to us with the greatest level of book smarts are all thumbs when it comes to making a cable. They just cannot do it. Sean just broke out of the pack last year as a first-year student. His cables were perfect. Their cables were horrible. It gave him such confidence to be able to do that. And the fact that he could do something physical was really important for his learning style anyway. And now this year, I mean, he has status with us in the school and with his group. He has confidence. And because he feels confident about that, he's willing to tackle the things that are more difficult for him to do.
Sean's big challenge comes this spring when he will be the first special ed student at Sollers Point Tech to take a professional certification exam in networking. This morning, Nancy Knoll helps out as he and another student struggle with the material on a practice test.
Mm-hmm. I know they start off as DCE, right?
Do they?
Serial ports, they start off as DCE.
Do they?
Yes.
You know that?
Yes, I
know that for a fact.
Yes.
Right out of the box?
Yes. I'm wrong, ain't I? Am I wrong?
Do you have your study guide, Tony?
It is a reading test in every sense of the word. You can't use a calculator for any of the math. It's incredibly difficult for students with special needs, so that's why I have to really train them ways of coping with that test.
This networking class is incredibly busy. Students are working to get different computers to talk to each other, while others build websites to show off their skill.
Mark has to
Spark
see
or something.
Seen this site?
Isn't that Spark? Yeah, watch it, it sparks.
Wow.
It's nice.
That is very nice. That's like better than nice.
It's all vector too.
Why were you looking at that? What is that?
It's just a website, a flash site. We get ideas and everything. I'm just going through this, and then we make new stuff off of it. It's programming and design, what we do. It's Flash, it's Macromedia Flash MX series.
It's a website for what?
It's just a website for data, just to present stuff that I want to present on the internet.
Different things you can download, you can go to links, just resources that you could use, like code, different things.
Anybody who listens to this will know that if C++ is hard, action scripting is like 10 times more. It takes years, though, to learn it fully. That's the thing. Even though if you learn it, you still have to know the techniques to do it. So.
Next semester, Sean and the other students will begin to use these skills and techniques at a job site. Some of the graduates at Sollers Point Tech have walked right into $45,000 and $50,000 a year jobs. That fact sure isn't lost on Sean's mom, who is intensely relieved.
And there, how many college grads do you know that are librarians or they're working on a construction crew because their degree isn't getting them anywhere? Sean has a real clear-cut idea of what he wants to do. So I think he's going to be successful. I'm so happy for him.
Happy for him that he's found who he is, confident in his future. Perhaps that's the real key to success for anybody.
After graduation, Meeting Special Needs was produced by Aileen Ellis. The field producer was Katie Gott. This program was made possible by the U.S. Department of Education. It's part of our ongoing series on education and technology. If you'd like to hear this program again or access our archives, you can visit our website at soundprint.org. Support for Soundprint comes from Toadnet, a provider of business and residential DSL throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Visit toad.net to learn more about Toadnet's internet services or call 877-GET-TOAD. Next week on Soundprint, we take you back to a time before radio, when a young Italian inventor received the first transatlantic radio signal.
No one could possibly, I think, have foreseen that this boy was going to change the world forever, which, of course, he did.
Join us next week on Soundprint. CDs of Soundprint cost $12.50. If you'd like to order a CD, just call us toll-free at 1-888-38-TAPES. That's 1-888-38-TAPES. Or you can order online at soundprint.org. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. Questions or comments for us? We love to hear from you. Email us at talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint is Technical Director Anna Maria DeFreitas, Associate Producer Katie Gott, Production Assistant Anuya Dove, and Sound Engineer Jared Weisberg. Our Executive Producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Barbara Bogave.